And we're off and running. It's full-blown controversy time. We're a full-blown controversy. We're at DEF CONs. I'm willing to say, I mean, good God, I'm willing to go as high as DEF CON 2. I'm willing to go that high.
You're talking about the quarterback position?
Yeah.
I thought there was no controversy.
Oh, this is controversial.
Joe Flacco is your starting quarterback week one and gets Cincinnati. Well, is that not done?
I think that everybody knows that. I'm talking about because...
Oh, you're talking about a backup quarterback or a third string or a fourth string. If you have a second, third, or fourth string quarterback controversy, do you really have one?
I think 216-474-0092. Is this a quarterback controversy or not? It seems to be there. The talk is still the NFL. Even though you have other situations going, well, not the talk of the NFL. I think the Micah Parsons situation is pretty
bizarre. Yeah, that kind of took over everything this weekend.
There's a couple things, but I mean, the Browns are up there. Browns are like top three. Got to tell you, this Shedeur Sanders and the whole Dylan Gabriel thing, and boy, Daryl just took a big can of gas and poured it all over the fire. Took a big can of fire and poured it over the gas is what he did. I mean, this is some strong stuff. I'm driving Saturday morning. When did he send this? Yeah. I'm driving Saturday morning, and I'm getting texts, and my phone just beep, 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 beep. And I'm going, what is, it's all on Daryl's tweet. All about what Daryl said. Good, bad, ugly, whatever you wanted to do. There were people who agreed with Daryl and what he said. There were people who vehemently disagreed with Daryl and what he said. There were people who were cussing Daryl out on my phone. All Saturday morning.
Do you want to tell people the Daryl tweet?
I do, and I should. Albert Breer, this would have been Saturday morning. He said, I don't know how many times I have to say this, but in reality, Dylan Gabriel is ahead of Shedeur Sanders right now and has been since both arrived in Cleveland. Sanders has worked to catch up, but he's got a lot of ground to make up. And then Daryl quotes it and says, I don't know how to say this, but Dylan Gabriel shouldn't be ahead of the ball boys. Every time I watch him, I think to myself, they can't be serious with this kid. And the heat was on.
Yeah, so the first part of it, Albert Breer, right, that has to be true, right? What Albert put out has to be true, or else the Browns would have been operating differently.
You'd think so, yeah. Yeah, you'd think so.
So you didn't find the Albert Breer tweet to be controversial.
No.
Many of our listeners did.
Why?
Because they keep getting all the reports of how bad Dylan Gabriel is. So if Shedeur is behind him, how is Shedeur even on the roster then?
Breer's tweet started with Zach just tweeting that new 11-on-11 period and Dylan was with the ones.
Yes.
That's how it all started there. So obviously if you look at who he's getting to do his reps with, your eyes would tell you he's ahead of Shedeur Sanders because Shedeur hasn't had that opportunity.
What can he get to do? On Saturday.
He just did drills.
Okay. So if you don't have Kenny out there and Joe isn't going to take them all, well, the next one in line is going to be Dylan. I almost said Shedeur. Next one in line is going to be Dylan. So if Dylan's the next one in line, then Dylan's going to take the reps of the ones. Like, we could not like it all we want. I think Friday is going to be the day that we get to see it all. Right? Like, that's going to be, for us and the general public, when we can really start to A, B, C it down the line, it's gonna be Friday because I'm imagining those two guys are gonna play. I'm a little bit worried about Shedeur's arm. I mean, if we're talking about soreness here, arm soreness.
Well, and he, according to, was it Mary Kay? He voluntarily, you know, told the Browns about his situation, and then if you know that was the case, and the Browns obviously did the smart thing by you're not gonna tax the kid. At this stage, you don't want to derail any of his development. These are huge, huge snaps. Every single one he gets at this stage, you know, something new is being thrown at him every single day. And this week coming up is a monumental week, you know, for him to try to prove himself. You know, you're mentioning Friday, but, you know, the real meat of this is going to be the joint practice.
You have joint practice Wednesday. You have a practice today, but you won't, obviously, it's not joint. Then they go on to Carolina, and then they're going to have a joint practice on Wednesday. They'll have Thursday to get ready for the game. They'll have Friday. That's the game, 7 o'clock, right here on your flagship home for Cleveland Browns football, 92.3 The Fan. We'll get to see probably a lot of those two guys. I don't know how much Kenny Pickett you're going to see. I imagine we're not going to see any Joe Flacco. So I think that Joe Flacco is probably the starter. I mean, this is bizarre. And I think what some people want to ask, you know, is are we kind of wasting our time here with Dylan Gabriel? I know that Daryl and Nick Padone, were on yesterday during the day on Sunday, and they have their Sunday. And it usually, Sundays have become very explosive between those two here over the last few months. And here are them talking about the Browns putting Dylan Gabriel in a bad spot.
They're putting him in a bad spot. You're forcing me to evaluate this kid like he's a first-round pick. He's not. He's a third-round pick, okay? But I'm having to look at him through the lens of he's a first-round pick. It's clear that you're trying to prepare him to play this year. And I think that that is a grave mistake. He's not ready for it. I am evaluating him not as a third-round pick. I'm evaluating him as a guy who they're giving first-team reps right out of the gate. Every day, this guy is first up. Occasionally, it's Joe Flacco. But every day, it's Dylan Gabriel first up. Why?
They clearly love him because he's smart, because he goes into the meeting rooms, and I'm sure he blows them away. And that's what this regime is. It's computers. It's spreadsheets. It's in the classroom. I understand that they really like the kid's intangibles and that he probably is a really good leader and that he's intelligent. Like, that's all really good, promising things to hear. That doesn't equate to winning football games, but they kind of think that it does.
All right, I disagree with both of them on different fronts. First one with Nick, I mean, if it were computer and spreadsheets, and I don't know if you're taking 5'10 QBs. How much do we have? We have Kyler Murray. How much do we have? Honestly, how much? If it's computers and spreadsheets and algorithms, how much do the algorithms point to taking a 5'10 quarterback? Who can move a little bit.
If you don't put that column in your spreadsheet, then...
Well, you got to have it accounted in the spreadsheet somewhere.
Well, is it more the numbers? Is it more the velocity of the throws? Is it because when you see his arm, like when he makes an out throw, it's vastly superior to Shador.
He's got a strong arm.
In terms of just the arm strength.
I never... But then that's one of the things that people said. It's underrated because... And we remember doing this with Baker because Baker was only 6 feet tall. So people went, well, he's not got a strong arm. It's like, no, he's got a very strong arm. You throw the ball through the wall. Hearing that, I don't understand the spreadsheet conversation, the computers conversation. I don't think analytics would tell you to take a guy like that in the third round because it raises people's eyebrows. So you would do the John Dorsey, like, or the Hugh Jackson, I should say, even. You got to trust me on that because I don't think that analytically it would have taken you to take him in the third round because everybody seemed to be surprised. And I think even analytical people were probably surprised by that. The other part, and where I disagree with Daryl on it, is, okay, Joe's not going to take a lot of those first-team reps. There's going to be minimal for Joe because Joe's 40 years old. He's been doing it for 17 years. Well, they want to get the best out of everybody. Well, if Kenny's not able to really go in a team setting, who's going to get the first-team reps? So they're bitching about it on Sunday. What I don't get, and now I'm getting mad, because I got Daryl slapping tables. Well, Shador Sanders said he had arm soreness, right? Right. Kenny Pickett still returning from a hamstring injury. Joe's Joe. Okay, well, somebody's going to have to take the first team reps. They can't play with 10. So it's going to end up being Dylan Gabriel. So why do I have to evaluate Dylan Gabriel as if he's a first? Why do they force Daryl to evaluate Dylan Gabriel as if he's a first-round pick? Dylan's not starting week one.
No.
So why is Daryl getting so pissed about Dylan Gabriel starting, taking any first team reps? If Shador were healthy on Saturday, then I go, well, maybe Shador should have taken some first team reps. You were going against the first teamers. Maybe Shador should have taken some first team reps.
Remember,
but there's probably no maybe. Shador should have taken first team reps, and then we'd all be moving on. Sorry, go ahead.
Remember what Nathan Zagura told us on Friday.
That he should be taking first team reps.
He thought Shador Sanders had earned those first-team reps based on what he had seen.
So maybe he would have on Saturday had he not self-reported arm soreness.
Which would stink then because then it's just a missed opportunity. And, you know, at this stage of the game, just same thing when we talked about Kenny Pickett, missed opportunity because of his injury, the hamstring injury that he suffered that kept him out. And now he's just in individual drills. You remember he was going to be reevaluated and, you know, we were going to see this week if he were actually going to be able to participate. You know, with the rest of the team, when they do this practice on Wednesday with Carolina, and then you have the preseason game, I haven't really wavered off this since the day we figured out that there were going to be four quarterbacks and then, you know, a fifth one watching from the weight room. Like, this was always, to me, going to be a faulty plan to try to get the best out of any of these guys. It seemed to me that this was going to be self-sabotaging.
Well, there's not a lot to go around. There's not a lot of time and opportunities to get on the field with each other to go around.
But Zach Jackson, you know, I was talking to him over the weekend, and on his pod, he said this was, you know, a traffic jam. It was a self-induced traffic jam. And I thought that's the perfect way to put it. That's what this is. They're all in each other's way. And are you really going to see one emerge in the way that you were hoping? Like, me and you talked once we heard about the Pickett stuff last Monday, because that happened over the weekend. Last Monday, we said, all right, quarterback competition's over. So that's the end of it. And then some people tried to say, well, Pickett's coming back. Pickett still hasn't been in those team drills. And we're not even sure what he's going to be able to do this week. It would be really hard for him to overtake. I just think Flacco at this point, I guess Flacco put some nice days together finally after an abysmal start for him. So I don't know. Are we in the same, like, what would Kenny Pickett have to do or anybody? But it seems to me it's been pretty much Kenny Pickett, Joe Flacco for the starter, and the other two dueling it out. The rookies dueling it out for the backup.
I don't think there's anything they could do. So, again, hearing that snippet of audio from Daryl, I'm going, Daryl, you're getting yourself way worked up more than you really need to. And that's coming from me, a guy who gets worked up all the time. Because it's exactly what you just said. Like, Joe would start the season, and then I think that the difference starts to be, okay, you got three preseason games. You're going to have live bullets coming after you. You got those two guys there. Okay, we'll see what they do. If but Dylan Gabriel goes out there and struggles, then I don't care how well he knows the offense, he's still struggling. And if Shador Sanders goes out there and does well, all right, maybe Shador has some things to learn. But again, I'm not asking either one of these guys to start on September 7th or whenever they start the season.
Isn't this the byproduct of this situation and the minute they took Shador in that pick where me and you lost our minds because we were having so much fun with it at a local bar?
Yeah.
That the only guy that most people care about is Shador Sanders.
Yes.
And he's the one guy that seems like he's getting the least chance when the coach said it was going to be a quarterback competition. And if the fans care about that guy and they feel like he's not getting a fair shot, and the media, anything they write or say about that guy is the stuff that gets blown up the most. Like, it just stands to reason that he's the guy that's going to be under the microscope more than anybody else, as well as the guy he's competing with. And that guy he's competing with has been abysmal, to the point where Kevin Stefanski basically admitted how bad he's been. And the people that have kind of dropped
he said it's
been really, really bad.
He did say he had a... It wasn't a slip, but he did say that he had a bad... He did say he had a bad day yesterday. He did say he had a bad day. Here's Daryl and Nick a little bit further on it yesterday.
Things get so loud if Shador Sanders outperforms Dylan Gabriel. Because
you know what?
It's what everybody's kind of secretly expecting to happen. Because we know that the ceiling is higher with Shador, and the floor probably is as well because of the intangibles. Because he's bigger and he looks more like an NFL quarterback.
There's no secretly about it. We are expecting it.
Yeah.
Because Dylan's been that bad on the practice field. Now, to be fair, it's not all been a disaster. But this week... been a disaster.
I just wonder if it gets loud to a point.
Overexposed this week.
I don't know that they're going to be able to keep hiding behind this developmental shield forever.
Yeah, they're gonna get. It's gonna get loud if Shador outperforms Dylan Gabriel. Shador Sanders is a star. Dylan Gabriel is not. He's got a smaller fan base, but they are. Like, I've had cuss out emails and stuff about how you guys all treat Dylan Gabriel. It's like, well, I'm not the one making names or anything like that. I'm just trying to call it like it is. Obviously, he struggled. I'm not saying anything nasty about his size. Can't help his size. But again, I was surprised, and you were surprised. And you haven't taken weird shots at him or anything like that because of his size
either. No, but when they took him, we all talked to some people that we trust and people we know. And, you know, you throw that out there and people are like, this is one of the biggest reaches that I can remember at quarterback.
Yeah.
Like, where he was taken with where he was evaluated by most teams, they said, man, the Browns must clearly be in love with him because nobody else is. And you were hoping he hit the ground running, and he's done the opposite. He looks totally overwhelmed. And for him, like, we keep talking about this whole thing for Shador. It's actually been more unfair for him, if you really think about it, a third-round pick, And then they go take a quarterback who's way more popular than him two rounds later. That is a recipe for really undermining a kid's confidence. And then maybe the team doesn't care about that. Maybe the team's like, hey, we want the guy to emerge. So we're going to throw a bunch of obstacles at these guys, and then one will emerge. The problem is you have all these guys that need reps in one way, shape, or form. And then, man, when Kenny Pickett is healthy, he's going to steal reps again.
The Browns wasting our time, their time as well, with Dylan Gabriel. 216-474-0092. I don't think so, at least not yet. I think some people are struggling to find logic, and I'm going, it's completely logical. I mean, they believe, and by the way, Cardiac Kid on Twitter sent me that, hey, he showed me the PFF. He goes, he is their analytical darling. That Nick Padone was right when he talked about it. I go, man, that early though, third round, like, show me the PFF summaries, and it's right there. There's a lot of stuff that they liked about the guy. Okay, all right. But they're not going to go willy-nilly with their depth chart so quickly. Their depth chart is clearly what you've seen already. Joe, Kenny, Dylan, and then Shador. And they're not going to jump from that so quickly. Now, we might find out on Friday. I mean, if Dylan Gabriel goes out there and he just looks overwhelmed, like, I think they're betting on processing looking good, everything looking good, and then you'll get to see on Friday him run the offense. To what degree, I'm not sure. I don't think it's going to be a great offense regardless. I mean, look at your wide receiver room. I mean, your wide receiver room is Jerry Jeudy, and the rest are, you got one guy who's holding on to dear life to an NFL career. You have another guy who basically can run one route over 3 years. And then you got one guy who's local, who's trying to see if he could stick on a 53-man roster. And that's a nice story. And then that's about it. I mean, that's about it. You don't have very many weapons to throw to. You have David Njoku. You have Harold Fannin Jr., who's a third-round pick. I mean, look at the guys that you have. You don't have a running back right now in Quinshon Judkins because he's not there for you. So we'll see what Dylan Sampson and Jerome Ford have. It's John Kelly in camp. He's like the longtime camp guy for the Cleveland Browns is John Kelly. I got to go back and see whether or not he's in camp yet. For whatever reason, it escapes me. Like, your weaponry is not that great. So I don't know if any quarterback can look fantastic during this preseason, but we'll find out a little bit more on Friday. I'm not ripping him just yet, even though, yeah, according to all reports, Dylan Gabriel looks terrible. Looks terrible. And it looks like, yeah, are you telling me the Browns made a bad draft pick? So far, yeah, the Browns have made some bad draft picks, and he may very well be another one.
You know,
I'm sorry, Saturday is an opportunity for Shador Sanders. It's not Shador's fault. Arm soreness is arm soreness. If he can't go, he can't go. But it's an opportunity. He might have gotten an opportunity for reps with the ones. We don't know. Because if Kenny can't go and Joe's not going to get a bunch of reps, then yeah, Dylan Gabriel's going to get the reps.
You know, had they not have drafted Dylan Gabriel and then taken Shador in the third round, which would have been worse value than where they got Shador, but would fans be way less uneasy about this whole situation? Because I think fans are so confused. They're so confused why they took Dylan Gabriel, and then if you're going to take him where you took him, then two rounds later to go with the other guy who's way more popular and is going to bring way more attention. And right now, anybody online that mentions Shador Sanders, any of the national guys, they all know this too. Any of them that delivers any kind of, you know, enterprising story, anybody who's even critical, whatever, they know that they're going to be swamped with mentions. And the Browns invited this to camp because they thought they would have an eye on being able to decipher between them, or that they thought they could develop all of them and then get assets for one of them.
It's not even, no.
It just seems with so many holes on the roster, this never made sense.
I think it's just this. I think we're overthinking it. I think it's just this simple. You never thought he would be there in the fifth round. He's there in the fifth round. You know that
he was there in the third round.
This season is exactly. But they like Dylan Gabriel, okay? So they decided they wanted to take Dylan Gabriel. I'm just going by what their logic is. I wouldn't have taken Dylan Gabriel in the third round. I think we're both on record. I'm just going by what their logic is supposed to be. They go and they take Dylan Gabriel. Never did you ever think that the guy would be still available in the fifth round, Shador Sanders. So you decided, well, what's this year all about? This year's really going to be about evaluating for next year. I know that they have to try to win some games to make sure that everybody's involved and gets their jobs taken to 2026. But we're trying to evaluate this year and trying to spring forward for the next year with the draft. So you might as well go ahead and take a shot at the guy who has a high ceiling, and if you could work with him, might be a bit of a bang for you in Shedeur Sanders. But the weirdest thing about this, see, the weird thing to me is that absolutely no one would be surprised by the result of Shedeur Sanders, the number two quarterback by the end of the training camp, by the start of the season, that Shedeur would play over Dylan Gabriel, and Shedeur would be more successful than Dylan Gabriel. As a fifth-round guy, nobody would be surprised by that. The whole scenario of what played out in the draft all the way now to August 4th has been a bizarre set of circumstances. And the only one who has seemed to keep his head on straight has been Shedeur Sanders. I can't accuse Kevin Stefanski of not having his head on straight. You guys might, depending on where you think of the depth chart. But everybody's lost their minds, it seems, except for Shedeur Sanders. It's the only guy who's been able to keep it together. The rest of us, we're slapping tables. I've slapped tables. You've gotten upset. You've got red-faced over this. It's been a week and a half. It's been 2 weeks of training camp almost. 2 weeks. We're getting ready to play the Panthers on Friday, and we will find out what happens on Friday. I don't want to just wait until Friday all week long, but I think that I'm going to be there with bells on Friday night at 7 o'clock to see what this kid has.
But it's
see
funny.
What Dylan Gabriel has, and
it's
then certainly
funny.
Compare him to
Shedeur. That is what we're going to be looking at.
How could you not?
They're going to be looking at the practice. They're going to be looking at the joint practice. Because what Dave Kanellis already said, they're playing their guys, right? They're playing their guys this week. That practice, it's only one, right, on Wednesday. But it's going to be a factor. And we're going to be losing our minds based on what happens in the preseason game. But how much of that is going to really resemble football where... the depth chart is going to be more on display than the actual starters.
Because I feel that in the practice on Wednesday, which we won't get to see, but remember, you're still going to wear an orange jersey or a red jersey. So in that practice on Wednesday, it's still controlled. Friday, it's not as controlled. Friday, you can get hit. And I want to see what they do with the offense. And we might find out they both just turn around and hand the ball off and we get out of here. I don't know what we're going to do. But I imagine there's going to be a couple of times like, hey, you draft these guys.
Yeah,
let them work. We're in a practice setting, but it's a game. Let it rip. If one looks really, really good and one looks really, really bad, or they both look good or bad or whatever it is, like I think that has to stand for something. Because all I keep hearing about is, because I don't know about Dylan Gabriel other than what you hear about the processing, the smarts, all the stuff that we've talked about, this, that, and the other throughout this entire process, because none of us can realize why he would be taken in the third round. So he better go out there and start having a good showing. Because if he doesn't have a good showing, then it's just their word against ours, against Browns fans. And how many times has Browns fans' word been better than the Browns over the last 25 years? Seems the Browns fans have been the ones who have ended up on the right side of things for so many years. And it usually is not supposed to be that way with fan bases in their franchises. Johnny Manziel was the one where everybody wanted to see him, and Johnny was a mess. Okay? You're wrong on that. Browns fans were wrong on that. That's one I could think of. I'm sure there's a couple, but it seems that Browns fans have been right more than the Browns.
Even Johnny had some good moments in the training camp. Go back and look. Even he had some wow, eye-popping throws that people were ready to hype. You haven't seen any of that from Dylan Gabriel.
Well, you saw the one video that the one guy took from high atop that he said it was a dart. That people were going, well, I don't know if that was necessarily a dart. So even that's getting picked apart. Hey, I'm not trying to pour cold water on this thing. I know that, it's a lot of fun to argue about quarterbacks. This offense is not going to be good. Daryl's right about that. Padone, I'll go back and I'll say it. Fine. If it's spreadsheets and charts and analytics and God knows what, okay, fair, but again, it doesn't tell me about the third round. I mean, you're still looking for guys that can start to some level eventually in the third round. Fifth round, that can be a crapshoot. I could see where it was done. But Saturday, if Shedeur Sanders is perfectly healthy and he's just standing there with his helmet in his hands on the sidelines or his helmet on, waiting to get in, and he doesn't get in, I think that everybody in the world has every single reason to scream and yell. But I don't know what the scenario was, if he weren't going to be hurt, because he was out on Saturday. So if he's out on Saturday, I'm sorry, guys, it gives him the perfect out. Somebody's got to take those reps. And it's not where I believe that Dylan Gabriel took those. He probably would take more reps with the ones because he's ahead on the depth chart. But I don't think he stole them from Shedeur Sanders because Shador's not able to throw or wasn't on Saturday. We'll find out more today.
Does Lima like or does Lima no like?
Like?
Tell me likey.
I'm liking it.
I like it a lot.
No like.
He doesn't like you.
I don't like you either.
You're tacky and I hate you.
Like or no like.
But I definitely knew what I liked and I definitely knew what I didn't like.
Well, the show has to send out a hearty congratulations over the weekend as history was made. Mary Kay Cabot, a longtime friend of the show, frequent contributor, somebody we look up to. She was honored from the Pro Football Writers of America and recognized for her distinguished career with the famed Bill Nunn Memorial Award. So that is a
Lima Likes.
And not only did she rise to the occasion with a speech that people are talking about all over the NFL world, here is what she had to say, referencing Bill Belichick, who she covered back in the day.
If Bill didn't like something I wrote, he'd call and yell at me. If you asked a dumb question, he'd call you out. But now, I totally understand why Bill gave me such a hard time. I was 28 at the time, and he just couldn't relate to a woman that old.
That was
I didn't hear that clip.
Yes.
I didn't hear that
clip. That was the clip from all the... It's funny. All the Hall of Fame speeches, that one got the most run.
So it went all over. It went all over, and I saw it on Saturday morning, and I was like, hey, I didn't know how it would react. So I was like, I swear to God, I started watching. I go, I'm going to wait. I think it's going to be played on Monday. I'm going to wait. Apparently, Bill Belichick's girlfriend wasn't thrilled with the situation.
She went on a retweeting barrage on social media.
Great.
Of a bunch of people that thought it was totally unprofessional for Mary Kay to make that speech about Jordan Hudson, which of course it wasn't. If anybody heard the speech, it was just a funny line that she dropped. And I love Mary Kay didn't back down either. I love it because she responded to all the, you want to talk about a groundswell, a flurry of media postings about Mary Kay. She basically said, it was a joke, lighten up.
I'm very excited about this new version of Mary Kay, who for years has chased professionalism and have finally awarded the top professionalism award, right? She doesn't need it anymore.
Nope.
So watch out, Jordan. It's every day. It's coming every day now. She doesn't need it anymore.
And we are going to only ask her about those comments. Yes. So we are going to do our best to try to capitalize on the story. But it was awesome because, you know, it's just, it's Mary Kay. Like, come on. I love the fact that she's like, lighten up. Anybody who wants to cancel or talk about this is some, you know, defiance of media journalism standards. Lighten up. We are squarely on her side.
I totally agree with you.
But then we have to say, let's be honest.
No likes.
It was a who's who at Mary Kay had a nice ceremony over the weekend at a local West Side hotspot country club. Jimmy Haslam was there, owner of the Browns.
Congratulations on all your success.
Andrew Berry was there, GM of the Browns. Kevin Stefanski was there, coach of the Browns. All showing up. My wife.
She was there?
She was there as well. Doesn't know anything about the Browns.
Got the invite, huh?
There was one.
Were you there?
There was one buddy, one person conspicuous. Is absent.
Oh, I was not able to make it.
That was Ken Carman.
Seriously.
I was not able to attend. I didn't dodge anything.
That's a Ken Carman classic.
Kenny bailed.
My son was not feeling well, and now I got to tell you this morning I'm not feeling well. So we're kind of going through it right now.
You got to make sure you got to milk it for all it's worth now.
I didn't tell you anything because I knew you'd bust my ass if I told you before the show, like, oh, God, I'm not feeling good. I'm not feeling very great right now. And I think I got a little bit of a touch of what the Jonah Bear had.
Oh, really? So this wasn't made up, which is what everybody thought at the ceremony.
Oh, did you tell everybody at the ceremony that I was making it up?
Well, I said Ken definitely sends his regards. Even though
Thank you.
You didn't, but that's something nice you say.
Wow.
I would assume like you would have said I was sending
I
my
did.
Regards.
I said that Ken, apparently his family has been under the weather. My wife did call it. My wife said there's no way Ken's coming to this because she didn't hear from Liz. She had noticed that Ken had missed some pretty big Lima events in recent years.
First off, this wasn't a Lima event. It was a Mary Kay event. So I missed one birthday because
it was an event on the West Side.
What was the second?
Ken's only been to one event on the West Side.
Yeah, your graduation party for your children.
I feel more seen and more respected than ever. That Ken ventured out to Avon Lake.
It's like Phantom 309 having a haul out there for that one.
For my children.
What were the other two? I missed the one for Mason because of Axel's football.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what was the other one?
Izzy's.
Izzy's birthday. I don't think I was invited to an Izzy birthday.
Oh, yes, you were.
Oh, yeah. Taco Bell.
We had your RSVP. We talked about it. The whole fan family. It was like eight deep that we had to adjust the numbers.
Are you sure?
We had a lot of leftover food thanks to the Carmen's bailing.
I don't remember this. All right, when's Mason's next get together?
we'll have to come up with something.
Oh, we'll have to come up with something now. Okay.
Either way, congratulations to Mary Kay stealing the headlines from the weekend, but now not to be outdone.
Live and likes.
Antonio Gates. You know, we didn't talk a lot about the Hall of Fame in Aaliyah because we had
inductees.
Yeah, we had a lot of our other stuff going on here locally. And let's be honest, once Joe Thomas went to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I mean, we got our fill for a while.
Well, because it always turns into, like, can I explain to you my reasoning for it real quick? It always turns into who deserves to be in the Hall of Fame, mm-hmm. and then it turns into who deserves to be in the Hall of Fame and then who doesn't. I'm like, well, if they're in the Hall of Fame, they're in the Hall of Fame. Like, when we started talking about Kenny Lofton and Ichiro Suzuki, when Ichiro Suzuki went in, my argument wasn't like Ichiro should be out and Kenny Lofton should be in. It was that Kenny should also be in the Hall of Fame. Yeah, and then it just turns into, do I really want to fight that badly over guys not being in the Hall of Fame? Really? Do I want to have that big of a knockdown drag out to keep him out of the Hall of Fame? Like, I go to the Hall of Fame. How many people actually go to the Hall of Fame? Who around the country who do this for a living? How many radio shows have actually been to the Pro Football Hall of Fame? 10%?
Oh, yeah, probably not either.
There you go.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I hold the Hall of Fame sacred, clearly. But I think for a lot of folks, it's like, it's just something to do in the beginning of training camp.
Yeah, well, why Gates was so interesting is that he's somebody who didn't play college football. So it really makes you wonder how many other guys, you know, could potentially convert or be able to do it. I mean, you get a story like Antonio Gates, who we all watch. I mean, Kenny, that was, how old were you when they made their Sweet 16 run? Their Elite Eight run, I should say, right?
I was junior high?
Yeah. I remember every one of those Kent State games. Yeah. It was absolutely awesome to see that team. And I saw them. I drove down to see that team play, you know, in the regular season. And to see them make the run.
Yeah.
And then for him to then go to the NFL and be like, oh, I'll try this tight end thing. And it was like, holy cow. He's been great at this the whole time. What would he have been in college? Had he have been, like, where would he have been taken in college? Had he have gone to Ohio State as a tight end?
Probably somewhere highly, right? So
that was awesome from the weekend. A great weekend in Canton, indeed, for all of those Hall of Fame enshrinees. Also, baseball-wise, they won another series.
Lima likes.
The Guardians got it done. Granted, yesterday was not so good.
Lima no likes.
As they fell behind early. But the big story.
Lima likes.
CJ Kafis getting the call-up, and he got his first ever RBI on Saturday, got his first ever major league hit. It was a double yesterday. Kwan kind of scuffling. You wonder if that's because of all the chatter. You imagine that probably mentally took him out as he went 2-14 since the trade deadline. But they did take 2 out of 3 against, you know, the shell of whatever the Minnesota Twins were. Did you get any more invested knowing that Kafis was up here? Was something you were clamoring to see? Because our fans have been dying to see.
Well, I was more upset before the injury, with the Lauder not being up. CJ Kafis, now that he's up, it's the same thing I would have been with the Lauder. Like, all right, let's get some patience and get some at-bats going for this guy and get him used to some big league pitching. Let's see what he can do.
I was happy to see they put him in the DH spot yesterday. So at least he's still because the thing we've bitched about with like Manzardo was like he gets hot and then you pull him out for 2 days. And then so it seems like they're at least for two games made an effort to make sure he got to the plate.
So you are 8 back of Detroit and you're 2.5 games out of the wild card spot. And now you've jumped over some teams. You know, we said one of the biggest obstacles here is that there are so many teams in front of them. And now they did not add at the deadline. So some people were like, that's the white flag. And the Kwan trade discussions, that's the white flag. Yet here we are. They're hanging in there. I should say three back of the wild card. But they are hanging in there. Do you think that, you know, I don't know if Kafis is going to be enough to really get people thinking, all right, let's make this big run. But, you know, the pitching is good enough. Like, why can't they?
Well, as long as the pitching is good enough, I think there has to be a conversation to be had about Tanner Bibee and how big a role he plays for this base. Not like he's going to go away or anything like that. But Mitch asked us a question like, do you consider him and running to be your quote unquote ace? And I think that that's kind of up in the air.
His ERA has not been great the last couple.
Haven't him and Gavin just kind of flip-flopped?
Yeah, there's a little bit of a, you mentioned the word scuffling. I think there's a little bit of scuffling going on as they try to find themselves. Not that you should give up on them. They're both too young. But I think that there needs to be a conversation had about getting the best out of these guys and seeing which one can become like a legitimate number one starter for your ball club.
Well, 3 games in New York against the Metropolitans on the road. That's a big series. Kind of feels very quietly like they have a very, very big start of August series. That's it for Lima Light.